Welcome to episode 35. I'm Stuart McCullough, I'm the CEO of VAJA. And starting with this week's industrial roundup, and in particular with community health, as it continues its intensive year of bargaining. We have continued to meet with a range of unions, including VAPA, following our successful trip to the Fair Work Commission, and with the medical scientists, who we're due to meet with this week on the 12th of September, to continue negotiations for a replacement agreement. A summary of those discussions and meetings, as always, are set out on the VHA Community app under the discussion heading Community Health. With regards to our regional forums, we're currently conducting the second round of regional forums for 2017. The regional forums are something that occur twice each year in each region, being in March and in September. Our thanks to all those members who have either hosted or who have attended a forum to date, and in particular to those who attended this week in Wonthaggi. We're looking forward to attending in Colac on the 14th of September and then making the trip to Swan Hill for a member forum on the 26th of September. A focus for those forums will be on VHA's industrial strategy for the coming years to make sure that we utilise the years in between agreements as effectively as possible. With respect to our bargaining with AMA, we've continued to meet with the AMA on a twice-weekly basis. The reference group convened most recently on the 11th of September, and the next reference group meeting after that is scheduled for the 25th of September. Again, updates are available under the Doctors in Training and Medical Specialists groups on the VHA Community app. If anyone has not yet been able to sign on to the community app and is interested in following the developments and contributing to the discussions around those negotiations, please contact VHAA. We've also continued bargaining with respect to the dental therapists, dental hygienists and the oral therapists. We are scheduled to meet with the CPSU with regards to a replacement agreement on the 18th of September. And with respect to general dentists and indeed specialist dentists, we're scheduled to meet with Professionals Australia on the 18th of September to continue that bargaining process, but we're still in the relatively early stages. That's all this week for this week's Industrial Roundup. Welcome to the weekly update, where we go in depth with a particular subject. Joining me for this week's discussion is the Manager of Workplace Relations Services and the 11th person to be voted out of the tribe, Tim Nagle. Welcome, Tim.
Good to be here, Stuart. Thank you.
Tim, would you be kind enough to reveal the clue for this week's discussion? And for the benefit of those people who are listening rather than watching this particular podcast, could you describe the object?
It's an album, and it's Tears for Fears, Songs from the Big Chair.
Songs from the Big Chair, not chairs as big as these,
no.
It has to be said. On the basis of that clue, what would you say that the subject for today's discussion is?
I'm not sure.
That is a paltry answer. Would you like to have a better guess?
Is it the nomination of the chair for the statewide classification committee?
Tim, you couldn't be more wrong. Songs from the Big Chair by Tears for Fears from 1985, not only does it demonstrate a fabulous love of the man perm as demonstrated by the cover, it contains a song with respect to a particular subject, and that is a clue to this week's subject. So the song is Everybody Wants to Rule the World. For the purposes of today, we'll be describing that as Everybody Wants to Accrue the World. Which brings us to today's subject, which is the accrual of annual leave and personal leave on periods of absence on work cover.
Yes.
So the reason that we're going to be discussing this today is further to a full bench decision of the Fair Work Commission, which was handed down on the 1st of September. It's the case of the Australian Nursing and Midwifery Federation and Alfred Health.
And so what's that decision about?
So the decision concerns the accrual of entitlements for a person who's not working, specifically a person who is not working because they are on work cover, and the matter at issue is whether that person is entitled to accrue annual leave and personal leave during that period.
So how did the decision come about?
It came about because of two disputes. One of those disputes was lodged under the previous nurses agreement, that is the 2012-16 agreement. A subsequent dispute was then lodged after the new agreement came into effect about the same subject.
Okay, and so what was the substance of those disputes?
So the substance of the disputes is it concerned a particular person who was absent on work cover and whether that person had accrued leave entitlements whilst they weren't working.
So in terms of the status quo, would a change to an accrual under, if accrual of leave while someone was on work cover, would that be a change?
It would. So traditionally what has occurred is that whilst a person isn't working, that effectively there's been a stop on the accruals of annual and personal leave.
And why is that?
Broadly speaking, personal leave and annual leave accrual turn on service. And it was understood and accepted for a long period of time that during those periods a person isn't providing active service or service to an employer, therefore they're not accruing the benefits of service.
Is that unusual?
It's not unusual. And indeed there is some support for that point of view under the Fair Work Act.
And for those members who are unfamiliar with Section 130 of the Fair Work Act, what does that involve?
So Section 130 of the Fair Work Act is the part of the Act that has a rule in it which is consistent with what the general understanding about accrual of leave had been. So Section 130 is headed the restriction on taking or accruing leave or absence whilst receiving workers' compensation. And the section has three components.
And what does the first section say?
So the first subsection of Section 130 of the Fair Work Act says an employee is not entitled to take or accrue any leave or absence, whether paid or unpaid, under this part during a period when the employee is absent from work due to a personal illness or a personal injury for which the person is receiving workers' compensation under a Commonwealth, state or territory scheme.
So that basically says they don't accrue leave. So that's clear?
Very much so. But then we get to subsection 2. And subsection 2 effectively operates as an exception to that general rule. And the way it's described under the Act is that that section, that blanket prohibition, does not prevent an employee from taking or accruing leave during a compensation period if the taking or accruing of the leave is permitted by a compensation law.
So what does that mean in practical terms?
So the meaning of that subsection was the subject of another case. And it was a full court decision of the federal court in a decision that is commonly referred to as Anglican Care. But we'll get to that decision shortly.
And the third section is?
The third subsection is another exception, and what it provides is that it doesn't operate to prevent an employee from taking unpaid parental leave during a workers' compensation period.
And so what prompted the dispute? How did it sort of come about?
So I need to make the point it wasn't anything that Alfred Health had done. The approach taken by Alfred Health was the approach taken by most, if not all, health services. This is a dispute that could have arisen anywhere. And the fact that it's arisen at Alfred Health is neither here nor there. And indeed, it's not even an issue that is specific or unique to health. It could arise in any employment setting. But really what's prompted the dispute is that decision in the Anglican Care case that I referred to earlier. It's the result in that case which has then prompted the claim for the accrual and generated the disputes.
So in terms of the issues, what were the issues before the Commission?
So there were three categories of issue before the Commission. And the first category of issue before the Commission concerned the agreements themselves, that is the 2012 Nurses Agreement and the 2016 Nurses Agreement. In particular, whether they were ambiguous and whether they restrict an employee from accruing leave whilst on work cover.
Okay.
The second category is whether there was a common understanding between the parties as to the operation of those section. That is, this was not wasn't a controversial issue or a live issue in the context of Anglican Care. And the third and final issue was whether the employees are then permitted to take or accrue leave whilst in receipt of workers' compensation under relevant workers' compensation legislation. And it's that third element that is particularly the key element.
Mm. So three issues. So what was the issue with the agreements?
So interestingly, what the applicant in this case had argued is that the employee had an entitlement under either the agreements or the National Employment Standards to accrue annual leave or personal leave. But it was also, and so the effect of that is that there was more than one avenue by which they could obtain that particular entitlement.
And so what did the Commission do with that?
So with respect to the Commission and with regards to the 2012 and 16 agreements, what the Commission was being asked to do was interpret those agreements. And you might recall that the Commission has distilled a series of principles about how to go about interpreting an industrial agreement. You might recall that we had done a podcast with regards to a case called Golden Cockerel.
So we did do a podcast that, and there was 10 principles that was distilled.
So there's a bit of an update with regards to that. There were 10 principles under Golden Cockerel.
So we've got a sequel.
It's not so much a sequel, it's more a series reboot. There's another decision and another set of principles which have updated and replaced the ones under Golden Cockerel. The relevant decision from which those principles are distilled comes from the case AMWU versus Berry Proprietary Limited.
Okay, and where do those updated principles start?
So rather than 10, we now have 15. So obviously that's 5 better.
We're winning.
That's right. And where they begin is that it states that the construction of an enterprise agreement begins with the consideration of the ordinary meaning of the words and that a resolution of a dispute and the construction of the agreement, of course, is not about rewriting an agreement. What the Berry decision also makes clear is that one of the tasks in construction is to determine whether or not there is ambiguity within the agreement and if the words are susceptible to more than one meaning. And in effect, establishing whether there is an ambiguity is a necessary, I guess, precondition to interpreting a particular agreement.
So that's obviously why the Commission initial focus was on identifying that ambiguity.
That's exactly right.
And so which part of the agreement did the Commission find was ambiguous?
It didn't, but the particular subsections that it was focusing on were not the personal leave or the annual leave provisions. The provisions that they were focusing on are Clause 4.5 of the 2016 Nurses Agreement and Clause 6.3 of the 2012 and 2016 Nurses Agreements.
And for those who haven't memorised the agreements, what do they say?
I do appreciate that there are a few people who may not yet have committed those to memory. So Clause 4.5 of the 2016 Agreement provides that where this agreement refers to a condition of employment provided for in the NES, the relevant definitions in the Act apply unless otherwise defined in this agreement.
So how is that relevant?
Both annual leave and personal leave are also under the NES. So they are NES conditions, and what it means is that if there are terms that are subject to definition under the Act, unless the agreements have redefined those terms, then definitions and meanings of the Act apply.
And so how does Clause 6.3 of the current agreement fit in with that?
Yeah, Clause 6.3 is a little bit different. What it says is that the agreement is not intended to exclude any part of the NES or provide any entitlement which is detrimental to an employee's entitlement under the NES. For the avoidance of doubt, the NES prevails to the extent that any aspect of the agreement would otherwise be detrimental to an employee.
So it seeks to include the NES into the agreement?
So just in terms of that component of it, it's got to be noted that whilst Clause 6.5 says all that, that's really how the Act operates anyway. Mm. So Section 55 of the Act really means that the NES prevails. The NES provides the floor.
And so what's in terms of the dispute, what's the relevance of that provision?
It goes to the issue of Section 130 and the matter that the Commission was discussing in this section, the section about interpretation of the agreements, is whether Section 130 had been incorporated into the agreement or not as such.
So that really depends on whether Section 130 of the Act forms part of the NES, essentially, doesn't it?
It does, but there's a twist. There's a definition of the term NES at Clause 4.1Z, and it says that the term is defined as being the standards contained between Section 59 and Section 131. However, the full bench made a point that the standards, the NES standards, strictly speaking, are in a narrower band than that. Mm. They fall within divisions 1 to 12.
Yeah.
Section 130 is contained in division 13. It's also worth noting that Section 130 is really about how a particular standard, that is annual leave and personal leave, how particular standards work as opposed to being a standard of itself.
And do you think that that narrow definition of what the NES ultimately affected the decision in the end?
So we've only had the decision a short period of time, but I don't believe it did. What the full bench found is that Section 130 is not incorporated into the agreement, but as we'll discover, Section 130 remained central to their determination of the dispute between the parties.
So in terms of that process of seeking an ambiguity in the agreement, did they find one?
They didn't. And it has to be noted at this point that we're looking at those particular clauses as opposed to a judgment of the agreement as a whole. What the Commission, what the full bench found is that there was not an ambiguity. They were satisfied that Section 130, therefore, was not incorporated into the agreement.
So that addresses the first thing that the Commission turned its mind to. How about whether there was a common intention element?
So there's a really key point here in that in a context where the Commission has determined that there's not an ambiguity, then the issue of common intention doesn't arise. Mm. Common intention is a relevant tool by which to resolve an ambiguity. Mm. If there is no ambiguity, then you don't need to defer to that tool. But for the sake of completeness and to be clear, it determined that there wasn't a common intention about that that confirmed the long-standing practice that was no secret, mm. that people didn't accrue annual leave and personal leave during that period of time.
So the second finding really follows on from the first, doesn't it?
It does. They're like dominoes in that yeah. respect.
And the third one, which is really the critical element of the case, is whether the employee was able to accrue the annual leave and long service leave and personal leave whilst on work cover.
That's right. I mean, what's interesting is that the Commission considers whether an agreement imposes a limitation by incorporating Section 130 and determines, well, Section 130 doesn't form part of the agreement. But in the decision, they then go on to consider separately the impact of that section of the Act, having regard for its prohibition. So the fact that it's not repeated or incorporated into the agreement doesn't seem to bear on the outcome, in that the Commission, the full bench, went on to consider the effect of one section of Section 130 in any event.
And what was the finding in relation to Section 130?
So you recall that we referred to a case called Anglican Care earlier, so that's a full Federal Court decision. And it focused, that case focused in particular on the meaning of permitted. You'll recall there's the blanket prohibition on accruing or taking leave during periods on workers' compensation, and then the exception in subsection 2 that says unless it's permitted by relevant workers' compensation law. And that's really what the Anglican Care case is all about. I do want to make the point that on the issue of permitted, there were three judges in that federal court case. Two judges issued a joint judgment. And then, so really it's that joint judgment that we need to take our cue from. And with respect to that joint judgment, the two judges, it talked about the purpose and effect of Section 130 being to remove an entitlement to take or accrue leave for employees in receipt of workers' compensation, unless there is a law relating to compensation in the relevant jurisdiction which countenances the simultaneous receipt of workers' compensation while the employee is absent from work. Countenances being the key term there.
So as everyone's reaching for their dictionary, what does that mean?
Considers, takes into account. So the full bench made the point that the Anglican Care case involved New South Wales compensation law, not Victorian compensation law. And the conclusion of the federal court was that the New South Wales legislation countenanced the taking and accruing of leave whilst an employee was absent from work. And what the full bench of the Commission did is use that decision effectively to frame the issue before it. So the issue before it was guided by that case, or determined by that case. The Anglican Care decision, as a full court decision of the federal court, is binding on the Fair Work Commission. And so the matter for the commission to determine was whether or not the Victorian workers' compensation legislation is significantly different to the legislation in New South Wales, such as to warrant a different conclusion to that reached by the federal court. And they emphasised in the decision the fact on a number of occasions that decision in Anglican Care is binding on them.
Mm. So in terms of the full bench, what did they conclude from that consideration?
So in effect, the full bench reached with respect to annual leave the same conclusion in Anglican Care, and that is that a person who is absent whilst on work cover and who is receiving workers' compensation is entitled to accrue annual leave during that period of time.
So you mentioned a couple of times that the Commission went out of its way to mention that the federal court decision was binding on them.
Look, the reason for that is that there was an earlier decision in a case called Bambach, which was also cited in this particular matter. And from my perspective, the Commission in that instance took a different approach to the one ultimately taken by the federal court. And it draws attention to that fact and draws attention to the fact that there is no other conclusion available to the Fair Work Commission under those circumstances if the situations aren't capable of being distinguished.
Mm. So ultimately, what is the effect of the decision?
So there are a couple of potential impacts, one of which, of course, goes to the issue of cost. If employers are required to accrue annual leave during those periods of time, then there is, of course, an additional cost to the employer. The second potential impact is perhaps under the heading of an unforeseen impact, and that is, whether it was intended to or not, strangely enough, a decision of this nature provides a financial incentive for people to manage more closely and make decisions about whether employment should be ongoing for those people who are on long-term work cover. Mm. That is, if people are continuing to accrue and incur cost associated with that absence from work, they may turn their mind at an earlier opportunity to determine whether there's a likelihood of return within the foreseeable future rather than waiting.
So the decision is clear that a person on work cover accrues annual leave. How about personal leave?
So the Anglican Care decision only went to the issue of annual leave. So the decision that was binding on the Commission only went to that point. And the full bench also made a point that there were some points of distinction between Victorian workers' compensation law and the New South Wales compensation law. Firstly, the Victorian workers' compensation law was enacted after Section 130 of the Fair Work Act came into effect and does not countenance anywhere personal leave. The full bench concluded that personal leave was intentionally excluded from the Victorian compensation workers' compensation legislation, and accordingly that a person who is absent on workers' compensation does not accrue personal leave during that period.
So we've only had the decision for a couple of days now. What's next?
So it's very new, and we're still just turning our mind to some of the issues that might arise, and we'll need to discuss that further with some members, and particularly with Alfred Health. I do want to emphasise, though, that what was unique about this decision, this full bench decision, is that it was heard at the same time as another matter on the same subject. And that was a case in the United Firefighters Union versus ESTA, and that the same conclusion and outcome was reached. And what that says to me, it confirms that this is not a health-specific issue. It's much broader than that. It's about the effect and operation of Section 130 of the Fair Work Act.
So given that everyone will be likely affected by this decision, where can they find it?
The decision is available, obviously, from the Fair Work Commission, but we have posted a copy under the general VHAA feed of the VHAA community app. But we will be consulting and providing further advice and clarification with regards to this. Obviously, one of the things that we will be doing, you might recall that the Federal Parliament had been considering an amendment to Section 130 of the Fair Work Act following following the Anglican Care decision. We will be writing to the Federal Minister just to draw attention to these particular decisions of the Fair Work Commission, which is appropriate under the circumstances.
So it sounds like really next steps are further consideration, but would recommend that members do obtain the decision and read through it so they're conscious of the impacts.
They should read through the decision and familiarise with themselves. The considerations are really at the back end of the decision, but we will be providing further advice once we've had a chance to consult more closely with Alfred Health. There is a little bit of time before that occurs, enough time for people to sit down and listen to Songs from the Big Chair by Tears for Fears. So look, on that note, Tim, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Stuart.
And thank you, Tears for Fears.